The sermon tonight is from Colossians 3. We'll consider tonight that fruitful living on earth begins with a right understanding of heavenly reality. Fruitful living on earth begins with a right understanding of heavenly reality, and that our union with Christ, that vital spiritual union, is the source of our maturity, of our growth, and of our obedience. A few weeks ago, I considered Colossians 3, the whole chapter, in an overview. Tonight, we'll begin back going through it a little more slowly. So, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Lord, as we think on this subject matter of having a proper thoughts of heaven and earth, and as we consider our union with Christ, we do pray that you would renew our minds, write your word upon our hearts, conform us more and more into the image of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. What do you think about when you don't have anything else to think about? We probably answer that in a number of ways. Probably depends on the time of year, different things going on in our lives. Perhaps one person the other day, it just stuck with me. A professor at Southern Seminary had put on his Facebook page the day that he said, "My wife and I are very excited. Today is a day that pitchers and catchers report to spring training." Maybe some of you are thinking about baseball spring training. Maybe some, when you don't have anything to think about, you think about Alabama's new offensive coordinator. For those Alabama fans, or for Auburn fans, will Gus get things rolling better this fall, looking forward maybe to spring practice? For others, maybe it's your husband or wife or children or grandchildren, maybe someone you miss. Maybe the office, you think about the office, what's going on there. I know with me, the things that I'll tend to get to thinking about, and I guess what this exercise does, and by the way, I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer here. I'm going to suggest through the passage today that whatever it is we think about, we ask God to help give us a heavenly flavor to it, a spiritual flavor to it, that we might have bigger thoughts of these things and have a bigger vision, a kingdom thought. We might bring God's kingdom into these thoughts. But with me is when I think lately I have there's this particular thing bothering me about one of my children's a certain situation with their ball club, and it's one of those things that'll just get into my system, and I, especially when you're not quite sure how to bring it to maybe a resolution, this thing that you're bothered by. We all have these different things. They can be idols. They can be idols, things that we think about too much, or they can be, in my case, I think, these kind of things, these irritations that I'll let, and as Paul Tripp says, start playing a DVD in my mind of how to handle it or how it might work out. Things where I think there's a lack of faith. We're not entrusting it to the Lord and saying, "Lord, you work this out." What God through Paul here is, I think, directing us to do is to have a heavenly flavor, a spiritual flavor, a godly flavor to our thoughts, and then therefore our actions, because our actions, our conduct will flow from our thoughts. Just to get it into some words, some different words as I move through just a few brief points here. Affections, ambitions, situation, and expectations. Affections, ambitions, situation, and expectations. Our affections, he's telling us here, our affections now come from our position and our condition. Our affections ought to be flowing now out of our position and our condition. Here's what I mean by that. Our condition, a spiritual condition we now have, I would direct you to verse 1. We've been raised with Christ. And also to verse 3, you've died. We've died with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. He has that in reverse order, maybe in how we would think about it chronologically. But we both died with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. That is our spiritual condition now, concerns our union with Him. My second point, we'll think about our union with Him more specifically. But nevertheless, our affections now should derive more from that condition. Our condition is the one, in some level, we have a similar condition to Christ. We've died with Him. We've been raised with Him. And that places us in a certain position. We've been raised with Christ. Our life is, in verse 3, hidden with Christ in God. And somewhere else, Paul says, we are now seated with Him. So we are with Christ. We have a position with the King of the universe. And by the way, this morning, and I regularly use the terminology, and I think Ron probably does too, of that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That is a metaphorical way of declaring that Christ is the Son of God, is the rightful heir of all things, is the King of the universe. But saying that He is seated at the Father's right hand is actually a way of saying He's everywhere accomplishing His will all the time. He's not static, just seated in a chair. So don't imagine it as Christ is seated in a chair. Christ is the King, the ruler, taking His gospel around the world and bringing all of His people into His kingdom as He prepares to return. And so our affections, again, I'm using the word affections, our thoughts, our emotions, our way of thinking, our hearts, our spirits. What regulates your heart, your mind, your spirit? What do you think about? We died with Him. We were raised with Him. We are now with Him. We will be with Him in His return. We'll get to that last. And then next week, we'll even consider that we have put off the old man with Him and we've put on the new man with Him. This is redemption. We share everything that Christ has earned. We now, He shares with us, and He's bestowed it upon us even now. And so our affections are the things within us, within our minds and hearts and spirits, ought to be derived from the fact that we died with Christ, and we've been raised with Christ, and we even reign with Christ. And therefore, our ambitions, and I'm using ambitions to say, as our affections work themselves out in our lives, our ambitions ought to be informed by our union with Christ. Having asked, what do you think about? I'll now ask, what are you interested in? We ought to be, it says, pursuing things of the heavenly realm. If you've then been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Verse 2, set your mind on the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above. This, and I wish I had a long list of just reading, that I could just read to you as to what this looks like in our lives. We have to just ask the Lord to help bring it from an abstract level to a practical level for us. But we can at least say our minds, our attitudes, our attitude, there are our approach to the things that we do, to our family life, to our vocational life, our jobs, our our housework, our work out of the house, our relationships to one another here should be related to Christ and his place in heaven and his union with us, within us, his spirit dwelling within us. Our mind, our thoughts, our attitudes, our ambitions, the things we want out of life ought to be related to God's kingdom. And again, I don't think this has to be kind of high and mighty or unusual. Let's just go back. Those things, our family life, our relationship with one another. We want God's kingdom to be at work in our homes. We've just prayed. We have children and grandchildren. We want them to know the Lord. We pray, Lord, save them. Give them new hearts. Take their heart of stone. Give them a heart of flesh. We pray, help me as I relate to different people at work or going about my business, at the grocery store, wherever it is. Let my attitude, my countenance be one of someone who is at peace as a member of your kingdom. Our outlook. So it reminds us that our ambitions ought to be informed by our union with him, and it particularly points out his exaltation. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, he was fulfilling Psalm 110, even in speaking of this way. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. Christ is exalted. And we share in his reign as his subjects, as his fellow heirs. And so our ambitions should be heavenly ambitions. Be heavenly minded for the purpose of earthly good. This can help us learn to look out not only to our own interests, but the interests of others. Our ambition should be to build others up. While there's a lot of hate going on out there, let's let the love of Christ compel us to be patient, to pray, to not be discombobulated by those who would seek to stir up strife, whether out in the bigger picture of just kind of the world out there, or even in our own homes or our own city or whatever it may be. Our minds, which have been renewed, ought to be set on him and on his life-giving plans for us. And it's only as we do exalt Christ as the supreme and as sufficient. This is telling us, don't live according to your own self-sufficiency, but according to his sufficiency in you and for you. What have I said so far? Our affections should come from our position and condition. Our ambitions are informed by our union with Christ. We are united to Christ by faith. And that should make all the difference in our lives. And points 1 and 2 are really based on point 3. Our situation is secure. What does he say? Verse 3, your life, you have died, and your life right now is hidden with Christ in God. We said this morning, we now have eternal life. A quality of life. Those dead have now been made alive. We have life. Here he's saying that life is hidden with Christ in God. It is safe and secure. We're inseparable from Christ. Are we joined at the hip? No, it's much more than that. We are spiritually united. Jesus said something about this in John chapter 10, 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Wow. What? So we're united to Christ, therefore we're in relationship to the Trinity. We're his sheep. No one can snatch us out of his hand. We are secure. No one's greater than the Father in heaven above. We're saved. Our situation is secure. Our situation is secure. The new creation, or as Christ actually calls it, the regeneration. In Matthew 19, 28, he calls it the regeneration. We talked about that last Sunday morning, a week ago. We are regenerated, made new in him. Well, the whole regeneration of everything has begun, Christ says. Spiritually, we're in Christ. So we belong to a new age. We don't belong to the current age. We live in the current age as emissaries of God's kingdom. But we can enjoy what it means to be Christ's sheep, having been given eternal life, even now. Our situation is secure. And so our expectations are now founded upon his revelation. That's kind of what I think he's getting at in verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, that's in the future, but he's saying right now Christ is your life, our life. Christ is our life. F.F. Bruce tells a story of Bishop Moule and how this became a new sense for him, or Moule. He tells of a friend of his to whom early in his life these five words, Christ, who is our life. It says, Christ, who is our life, were made a new world as this man walked back to his home over the dark fields from a mission service he had been conducting. Christ, who is our life. These simple, these familiar words passed through his soul in one of those moments of insight which only God can explain. Christ, who is our life. He says, within 10 paces as I walked, life was transformed to me. He said, it was so wonderful was the discovery that the Lord Christ isn't merely rescuer, friend, king, but life itself, life central, life inexhaustible, springing up within my heart and rising to eternity. Is Christ your life? Is Christ my life? Because he is our life today, he is also our hope for tomorrow. Here and now, as the Holy Spirit works, he's seeking to produce increasing likeness to Christ. And then one day when he does return, as John wrote in his letter, beloved, now we are children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Right now we've been given a deposit, the Holy Spirit, a deposit of our guaranteeing our hope in the life to come. He's committed to making us more and more like himself. So as our affections more and more come from our position and our condition, as our ambitions are informed more and more by our union with him, remembering our situation is secure, then we can live today with the expectations that Christ will return. And so now we conduct ourselves as citizens of his kingdom, safe and secure in his love, sheep of his fold, whom no one can take away. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, as you continue to renew our minds, as you continue to form our affections according to your will, as you continue to redirect our ambitions that they would be in line with your kingdom, may we each, like the hymn writer, say, this is my story, this is my song, that I praise my Savior with my mind, with my heart, with my conduct, all the day long. And we pray in his name. Amen.